Isaiah 40, 21 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
You know, God's people have been saying these creeds and these pithy statements for millennia. You know, since the Israelite times, if you remember the sort of Passover feast that we'll celebrate again together, they had just 100 words that they would repeat every time the Passover is taken as a summary of their history, as a summary of what they believe as a result of their experiences and what the Lord has given them in his word. And we also know, I mean, I don't know if we realize how many creeds we probably say, these pithy summaries. You know, the Apostle Paul provides us with a number of creeds. Remember the one from 1 Corinthians 11:23. You will remember this one. For I received from the Lord what I have passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Creeds are just part of who we are as followers of Jesus. And the Apostles' Creed, and on your table, I said the slightly longer version, the Nicene Creed, summarized the foundational truths that are found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Apostles' Creed is a summary of what the apostles were teaching. It's not written by the apostles. I think you know that, yeah? And it came about around the year 200 AD. It's pretty old. And it came about as people were being baptized. It was a case of, because the Nicene Creed is "we," but the actual Apostles' Creed is "I." And this is, and why it's "I" is because it came about at baptism, and there was, "Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?" And then there was a response to say whether they did or not. And "Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary?" And they would respond to that, etc. And so it was from the baptism ceremony all those millennia ago that the Apostles' Creed was created. But I think it's pretty obvious. Just reciting the creed does not make you a Christian. Just reciting the creed doesn't make you a follower of Christ empowered by the Spirit. So what is the purpose of the creed, the Apostles' Creed? And I think, really, there are three main purposes. First of all, it's to summarize the Christian faith, which helps us guard against theological fashions or personal preferences, cultural trends. It is our true north compass, the true north for the vast majority of denominations in this world. Isn't that credible? From Roman Catholic right through to Protestant, this is something we agree on as the basis, the foundational teaching of our faith. Secondly, it's the lens that brings into focus the important beliefs we find in Scripture. Because if you do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, your lens that you're looking through will be marred. If you don't believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, then you're actually part of a different religion. Do you see this lens as we look through is so important as we read Scripture, as we meet together, not forgetting this basis of our faith. And thirdly, people who believe in their heart, I'm not talking their head here, but believe in their heart, in other words, put it into practice, these statements of faith belong. They belong to the community of God's people that goes right back to Jesus and his disciples' time. These beliefs, believed in your heart, put into practice, these beliefs make us part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God, children of God, followers of Christ, heirs of God's promises. What a God we serve. So let's talk about Almighty God. Actually, I'm going to go back a bit. I want to tell you why I'm doing this. So why I think it's so important that we do this, and this is the goal of what I'm going to do for the Apostles' Creed, is I think it's good to sometimes take time out and think more deeply about our faith and what we believe. It's good to just stop and think, okay, what do I believe and why do I believe this? But also, there are massive implications for what we believe on our lives. What we believe is meant to change our lives. And so my prayer is that you can go through and say, yeah, I believe that. Oh, it hasn't quite changed my life that way. So I can now realize that it actually can change my life that way. And I don't have time to talk about Father God this morning. I'm just going to talk about Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. I mean, there's so much in that. But I just want to say that Father God is good, is kind, is perfect, is holy, is relational, is love, and wants to be in a relationship with each one of us. He has none of the flaws of our earthly fathers. And my prayer is that we don't, again, this lens that we look through, we don't look at Father God or think of Father God through the lens of our fathers, but through the lens of Scripture and the lens of the creed that we state and we believe in. So firstly, Almighty God. Isaiah 40, 21 to 31 is trying to give us a picture of who Almighty God is and what Almighty God can do. Isaiah tells us that the earth was founded by God. He is so vast that he fills the heavens that he created. I mean, that's pretty big. You know, it's just like this. I know it's hard to grasp, but this is Almighty God. He counts and names the stars. Do you know what I mean? It just blows my mind. We haven't seen so much because it's been so cloudy and miserable for months. But you know, every time I do see the stars, I just sort of think, I'm only seeing a tiny amount of them. You know, Zoe will have seen such a phenomenal amount of stars in Nepal when she's there. And it'll just blow her mind because you suddenly see all the Milky Ways and everything else because there's no light pollution. But he counts them and names them. Have we grasped that this is our almighty God? And it says, and I don't know about you, but I have one thought in my mind when he says, he brings princes, in other words, rulers to naught, and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. This is our God. And it may not feel like that, but this is who he says he is through the prophet Isaiah. How are we living our lives, though? I wonder, do we live as though God is almighty? Or have we got caught up in the world? Have we got caught up by the education that we have had, which doesn't understand and recognize that God is not just mighty, it's almighty. It means mightier than any other being that exists. Do we live our lives in such a way that God's power, his almighty power and strength, has changed them for good? And do we live with the expectation that God's almighty power can change other people's lives as we pray for them? Or even whole nations? It's a challenge, isn't it? As I was studying this, I was thinking, do I actually believe, even though I've said it, I don't know how many times, having grown up in a Church of England, do I believe that God is almighty? Or do I act as though God is limited by time and space? Do I act as though he's limited by my beliefs or my sin? Oh God, you can't do that. I am such a miserable sinner. Or my understanding or my circumstances. Well, God helps those people, but never would help me. It's amazing, isn't it? But actually, the point of the creed, the point of stating this is to say, this is who Almighty God is, and this is what he's capable of. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. And I think that the Apostles' Creed challenges us to remember and believe God is almighty, unending in strength, all-powerful, nothing being impossible for him. He will not grow weary or tired. I don't know about you, there's a number of us this morning who are just like, wow, I'm pretty tired of 3 hours in the garden yesterday. And I was thinking, I feel like an old woman. I know I'm not 60 yet, but goodness me. You know, and I was just like, you know, but he doesn't grow weary and tired. You know, the scripture says. It's just amazing. You know, nothing is impossible with him. And his understanding no one can fathom. You know, I love that passage. Do you not know? Have you not heard? You know, and I feel like, no, I've forgotten. This is who Almighty God is. And that almightiness, that Almighty God is revealed right from the book of Genesis through to the book of Revelation. If you think about it, you know, Abraham and Sarah, you know, 99 when she conceived. I'm sorry, that's impossible. You know, but that is Almighty God's power and ability. Yeah, to give Sarah a child at a really late age. And then in the book of Revelation, which we've studied together, you know, Jesus comes to John and says, I've got to tell you and I've got to reveal this to you to go and tell the church. He is, God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the one who was and is to come. He is almighty. And then if you start looking at all the stories in between, God continues to reveal himself as almighty. He reveals himself, as we've just done through the book of Exodus, as almighty. This is who our God is. He is without limitation. He is outside time. He is strong and powerful and capable of the impossible. I know, are we living our lives as though nothing is impossible for our God? Are we living our lives as though God is almighty, or have we gone through circumstances recently, or relationship struggles, or parenting, or grandparenting difficulties, and forgotten that God has the power to intervene? Or maybe at this precise moment we're feeling broken. We're struggling with addictions or suffering from our past mistakes that are impacting us today. And we think that God has no power to change our story. Are we feeling powerless over our futures, our circumstances, our families coming to know God Almighty? I hope not. I pray not after today. We are not a religion of great ideas, but a great and good God. And I don't know about you, I've had to challenge God on a number of occasions, because there's times when I have not believed, have not seen, have not experienced him as almighty. And I don't know about you, but rather than just getting cross with God and everything, you know, I've cried out to him. There's one of my favorite phrases, God, you appear impotent. You appear unable to do what I'm asking you to do. I cannot see you as almighty in my life at this moment in time. He loves that kind of prayer. He loves it. And in a bit, I'll tell you some stories of what happened as a result of me crying out to God, saying, show me almightiness, because I'm not in a state at this moment in time in my Christian life of believing it. So ask him to reveal to him to you as being no limited, everything impossible, or if you have caught up with the latest popular song, Defying Gravity. You see, knowing God as almighty provides us with an unmatchable comfort and peace. It is absolutely phenomenal. After, I'll see how much time I've got, maybe one or two experiences I'll share with you. After those experiences, I can live even in the most dire circumstances, experiencing his comfort and knowing his peace, not losing it, because God is almighty. Psalm 46 reminds us that God is our refuge, always present in times of trouble and able to bring us peace. No matter what I am facing, God Almighty has the power to intervene and uphold me, the power to heal and rewrite my story, the power to redeem what has been lost, the ability to give strength to the weary and power to the weak. In 2012, I was in Nepal, and it's very vivid in my imagination because I was actually celebrating my birthday with colleagues and friends at a restaurant, and I got a phone call from my younger sister in tears, absolutely distraught. She says, Uncle Chaz has died, who was the uncle and aunt that I lived with after my father died and had been like a father to us. My cousins had been going through such a nightmare time at the moment, including the suicide of one of their children, that they were just not in a place to deal with the funeral, and they needed help with my aunt. And they were like, come home. And so the next day, I managed to get a flight, 13-hour flight, arrived. My mum was on holiday, so she wasn't around, so I stayed in her house in Peacehaven overnight, knowing I had to drive up to, it's in between Luton and Bedford where they live, a little village called Shillington. And in the morning, I was just so sluggish. And I realized as I got in the car, I'm thinking I'm a bit late, you know, put your foot down. I got to Junction 7 on the M1, and I just looked at the clock. And I was like, God, I am so sorry. I have done this journey so many times. There is no way that I'm going to meet my aunt and take her to the bank, as my cousins have instructed, and to say I cannot be late. And as I closed my eyes, I mean, blinked, honestly, I was middle lane, numbers, you know, Junction 7. I just looked at the clock. Lord, I am so, so sorry. And then I looked and I was at Junction 12A, literally within a split second. I have tried to do this since. Can I just tell you, it hasn't happened. But it was just one of those experiences that the Lord transported me. There's no other way of explaining it. I got there on time. In fact, I nearly missed that junction because I'm in the middle lane, not expecting 12A to follow 7, you know. Isn't God amazing? He is almighty. And I want to tell you another story. In 2011, you can tell the year that I was asking him, 2010, I was like, God, I don't believe you're almighty. You know, come on, God, I haven't experienced this in my life. I was on furlough here in January, and my friend Laura Beth was with me. And we needed to get to our 28 churches that you visit on furlough, and I was on my way to Slough Baptist Church. We caught the train up to London. We ran, I don't know, like Billy O, and got the underground so that we could get on the right train to Slough. And I knew it was about a stop or two away. And so we were looking out the window, waiting for the stop to come, knowing that the minister was waiting there for me at the station to pick me up. And as I suddenly thought, the names that I'm looking at here, I think, are beyond Slough. We have looked at every single station. We have been mega alert, because I hate missing, you know, being late, mega alert, and we were now heading towards Reading. And I said to the lady opposite, I said, have we stopped at Slough? She said, yes. And I'm looking at my friend, and she's looking at me and thinking, what happened? How did we miss that? And I was, you know, I'm feeling stressed and worried, You know, because I'm like, oh no, the minister's waiting there. I'm panicking about what to do. We get to Reading, because I knew that there'd be lots of trace from Reading back to Slough. I couldn't get hold of him. Do you know what I mean? And so because I don't know why, I can't remember. Maybe I didn't have his number or something, but he was just waiting there. So we got to Reading, and of course we ran to the station, just missed that train, but then had to run all the way back to the platform we were on and got on the train. And on the way back, we were just the two of us in the carriage, and my friend starts singing choruses. I could have poked her eyes out. I was just so cross and so upset, you know, that God had done that. You know, we've been looking out and all the rest of it. And then when we actually get there, the guy was fine. He says, oh, I was on street passes last night and I'm so tired. It was just really nice to just sit and wait for you and have a few moments peace. But he says, I've got some bad news for you. He says, unfortunately, the couple who had a lovely room and a nice quiet house can't take you anymore. She's got a stomach bug. You need to go with this family that I knew of. And, you know, quite young children suffering ADHD, and the mother did too. And I was like, oh, I don't know about you, on furlough. I was just thinking, Lord, really? Really? So I stomp off, you know, my friend's still singing, but I'm stomping off to this house, you know, walked into the door and sat down in the lounge and looked at her rug on the floor. I was like, that is a rug made by one of my parents at Kisk, the school I was at in Nepal. I recognized the design. And I said to her, where did you get this rug? And she said, oh, it's a funny story. She said, I was just at a car boot sale and I didn't even see the rug. It was just rolled up. And she thought, oh, I bet I need to buy that. But she didn't have any money. And so the person, I think it was a lady, who said to her at the car garage boot sale, she said, no worries, I'll bring it to your house. I mean, what person does that? And you know, you can pay me when I bring it to your house on my way home. And I'm looking at this thinking, you have all of this planned. This was years ago. Years ago. It's only a year. You know, I'd only just discovered this parent who had these carpets because they made one for me with our KISS logo. God had instigated this. And in fact, that family were desperate to know the Holy Spirit, and we had a brilliant time with them praying. God is almighty, capable of doing the absolute impossible. But tragically, so many Christians have forgotten we serve an almighty God, and there's so many people out there who've never discovered God as almighty, let alone discovered him as the maker or creator of heaven and earth. You see, many people today think there is no meaning or purpose, no intrinsic value imbued by our maker and designer. Or even if they believe that there is a God, he's not interested in being involved with his creation. The Apostle Creed confronts the lie that God is irrelevant by affirming the belief that he is the maker of all things created. The continued existence of all things is found in God's creative power. Everything is being sustained by God. There are implications, just as there are implications to be able to live in that comfort and peace when you know God as almighty, capable of the impossible. There are implications if you recognize God as your creator, your maker of not only you, but of heaven and earth. And firstly, that implication is that we have meaning and purpose. You were created, you were designed for a reason. Everything has a purpose. And remember, what was the original design? He says, I've created this to be good. To be good. Yeah. Our design, the whole world is created to be good. In fact, when he'd finished, he's like, wow, this is very good. This is the purpose, the meaning behind creation. Nothing is accidental about you and this world that we live in. Nothing. And that gives you that intrinsic significance and worth. You matter because you were created in his image. You matter because you are fearfully and wonderfully put together in your mother's womb. You have intrinsic significance and worth as bearers of God's image, designed to represent his purity, his passion, and his power. So many try and create their own significance through their work, the power they wield, the balance of their bank account, and then tend to judge others with that same idea. We find our significance in our Maker. We don't find it in our, as education perhaps would teach you, in our IQ or our EQ. It's not found in the number of likes we get on Facebook. It's not found in the house we live in or the car we drive or the job that we have. We have intrinsic worth and value because God decided that you are around at this moment in time for such a time as this. You were created in His image and you have a purpose on this planet to reflect Him. But thirdly, this means that we are accountable for how we live our lives. God made us to bear His image, to fulfill His will on earth as it is in heaven, to play our part in the body of Christ, to use the spiritual gifts He's given us. Thus, we are. When we sin, we distort what we were designed to reflect. If we steal, we distort God and His kingdom because God is generous and the culture of heaven is generosity. If we are greedy, we distort God's design for contentment and justice. And if we envy and or are jealous, we distort His design of kindness and love without compassion or comparison, I've said this before, but do you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and think, wow, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? I'm here because I'm going to represent God's purity. I'm going to represent His power today. I'm going to represent His passion to all I meet. That's what the creed, when we make these statements, we said it right at the beginning, that's what we're stating. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Isn't it incredible? I don't know about, I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by, do I really believe these statements? Do I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Because this is more than just a statement of belief. The first paragraph of the Apostles' Creed is designed to remind us how we are to live our lives. Are you living in the knowledge and understanding that God is Almighty, which involves inviting God to rewrite and redeem your life and the lives of those around you, as well as the world we live in? Does your heart enjoy the comfort and peace of knowing God is almighty, limitless, powerful, able to do the impossible and provide the strength and power that you need? And are you living in the knowledge and understanding that your purpose is to reflect your Maker? You have intrinsic significance and worth and are accountable for how you live your everyday life. Again, like I said in the middle of this sermon, if this is not your lived reality, ask God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, to help you through His Spirit today and in the days to come. Challenge Him like I did if you have not experienced God as Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I'm just going to be quiet for a minute and just allow you to take time to think through and to pray and ask God what you would like for Him to do in you and through you today. Father, forgive us if we've forgotten You as Almighty God. Forgive us if we've forgotten that our significance and worth comes from You, comes from being made in Your image. But Lord, I thank You that Your word says that we can call You Abba Father, that we can come and say, Father God Almighty, reveal Yourself to us so that we can reveal Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth, to those that we meet. And Lord, as we are transformed from glory to glory, from purity and passion and power, we are doing it for Your glory, not ours. Lord, we want to make You known, because You are Almighty God. Lord, I pray if there's anyone this morning who has not encountered You for the first time as Almighty, I pray that their hearts would be open, their eyes would be able to see, their ears will be attuned to see how you work in this world as Almighty God, in our lives as Almighty God. I pray for those who are needing strength this morning, that right now you would provide that strength. Those who are feeling weak and need power, I pray that right now you would provide that power that they need. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh. Thank you, Lord. Amen.